pass it on to the next person. And how is AI going to do that?
Yeah, very bad. I'm glad we share this viewpoint on something that apparently is controversial, but I don't really know if it should be. For people who are interested to learn more about your art and who are interested in supporting your art practice, how can they do that? Where can they do that? What's the best way?
So I have a studio. Everybody is always welcome there. You can find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is I Need a Break to Create. Just reach out, come visit my studio, message me. And also what I really love doing, if someone has a piece that they just want to get refinished, furniture or any kind of home decor, they can just bring it to me and let me know what colors they like or what they're looking for, and I'll just redo it, upcycle it for them.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie, and if you're just joining me, I shared some interviews with artists that I got over at the Spring Market of Goodstankmart last Saturday at Redgate Art Society during this first half of the hour. Now we're gonna chat with an artist collective who was also at GSM last Saturday. They're called The Stranded Ones. They're a group of friends who all decided to pursue art full-time quite recently after working in fields that were not as creatively engaging. And the through line of all of their work is that they use illustration to tell poignant, thoughtful stories of lived experience, sometimes silly, sometimes nostalgic, sometimes from an advocacy lens. I chatted with them each individually about their art practices, so you're gonna hear Sophie, Gal, and Jimmy of The Stranded Ones coming up next.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm Sophie. I'm doing good. Hope everyone who's listening is doing good as well.
That's good. That's generally the vibe we want to go for, I guess. Looking at your booth, I noticed like a lot of illustrations that are very like graphically, I don't know, very very clever, but also like a lot of stuff that's like really Chinese. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Did you say really Chinese?
Yes. Or?
Oh, yes. Because I'm Chinese. I came here to Vancouver in 2011. I actually started the school in 2011 as well in SFU. So I know this radio station. I came here from Beijing. I grew up there. And before I came to Vancouver, I've always been in Beijing. That's why the illustration, the arts I create is very truthful to how I grew up. Also, I realized after I came to Vancouver and learning so much about local arts, making friends with so many local artists, I realized the term Asian is actually very broad. It's an umbrella term for a lot of different cultures. For example, the more mainstream, more stronger culture here is Cantonese and Taiwanese culture, and maybe Japanese and Korean as well. But as a Chinese, I realized there are so many diverse arts in like original culture in our like in one country. I feel the culture I came from is very underrepresented. Even if I can understand where my fellow artists come from, I just feel like there's something missing. That's why I want to create something that's very personal. Nobody else is really doing that, because a lot of people here don't really understand where those arts are coming from. They don't really know what's life in there in Beijing. They just imagine this as a capital city. It's very political. It's a like red wall, like very old like palace, and that's it. There's so much more, and I want to express and share what I've seen, what I experienced as a child, as a teenager, to people in Vancouver.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. One of the prints that I really, really liked at your booth was the Tai Chi Quan, Bingtang Hulu.
Yes.
That one. I really like that one, and that actually, hearing your story makes me think back, like, oh, that is actually definitely very, very, like, very northern, very, like, Beijing style. Can you tell me a little bit more about where that illustration came from?
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the philosophies I like to create from is being playful. And I always like to embrace my inner child. I don't like my art to be too... Sometimes it can be epic, but I don't like it to be too serious. I like to take myself more lightly, and I always like to make fun of things, make things fun, and make joke out of it. I feel like everything in this world right now, at this moment, is too serious. There's a lot of like serious business, world issues, so many things happening, and sometimes people just forget that there are sparkles in life where you can still see the light, you can laugh. And that particular illustration is actually inspired by my fellow artist Jimmy. He made this series of fighting neighbors. So he did like people fighting, holding Taiwanese beers, and he also did that's Muay Thai. That's why he's really into those martial arts. And once we were talking, and I was thinking, when I was doing a food theory, and when I was coming down to the caramelized hawthorn, Bingtang Hulu, and I was just like, maybe I should make that into a fighting, because we did that a lot. Like as a kid, whatever you hold in your hand, you think, you reimagine whatever you get, you make that into a fantasy. You, as a kid, you always have the ability to see through the mundane details, right? And as we grow up, we kind of lose that sparks. And I just started to develop the idea, and then I realized, oh, it would be cool to combine that with the Tai Chi sword and make it like look pretty legit. But if you look at it very closely, is Kenny Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Like, you will, like, blow some people's mind. I hope so. That's how I developed the idea.
Thank you for sharing that with me. Yeah, I just really, really liked it. That was, like, the first thing that I saw in your booth that, like, it really captured my attention. And you use, like, very beautiful, I think, graphic elements or graphic design elements in your illustrations to tell such, I'm not really sure, but personal is quite exactly the word that I'm looking for, but such a lived story of your art. You were mentioning to me earlier off air that you went to SFU and that you also studied communication, as did I. What made you, I don't know, where did that, like, change from doing communication into doing full-time art come from?
I learned communication in school, and I mean, I didn't choose it very consciously, because when you're in your early 20s, you didn't really know what you wanted to do. So I chose communication because I saw a lot of curriculums. They're really fun, like talking about web, talking about culture, advertisement, symbolism. That's something I've never get to learn anywhere else before. Also, when I was looking at, like, TV shows or cinema or advertisements, I always look at those symbolism, like the meaning behind. So I think going to school in communication really helped me learn to analyze and think about the meaning behind the symbols. And afterwards, I actually got into a field that is not really relevant to what I'm doing right now and what I learned in school. I studied user experience design. I went to a boot camp, and afterwards I started to work as a UX designer in companies. It's a very different creativity. And throughout years, I worked for 4 or 5 years. I feel I was very restricted, because you need to alienate yourself from the work you are doing, because you're always designing for someone else. You can't be very subjective. And that's why after a layoff, unfortunately, I wanted to do something for myself. I wanted to explore what I really wanted to do. And I learned that I'm better at doing art for myself. It's more free. And I also feel the things I've learned in school is very helpful, because it's not really a specific skill or a specific theory that helped me develop how I create. It's all about a perspective, a different lens that I look at the culture or any mass media products I consume. I learn to look at it from different angles.
Well, thank you for that. Okay, for somebody who wants to, like, check out your artwork, support you, and all that, how is the best way that they can do it? Where should they go? And what should they do?
You can follow me on Instagram. So my personal Instagram account is _BIYONNKO, and our collective IG is The Stranded Ones, THE.STRANDED.ONES.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time today, Sophie. I'm here with Gal. How you doing, Gal?
I'm good. Thanks, Leslie. It's my first time at Good Stank Mart and also Redgate, but I'm pretty happy to be here. The crowd is very nice, very kind. Had some great conversations with people, and yeah, I'm just happy to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your work with the Stranded Ones?
Yeah, for sure. So we've kind of formed randomly last year. I am friends with both members, of course. So Sophie, Jimmy, and myself, Gal. I met Sophie when we worked at an office together, and I met Jimmy through Sophie. And we all kind of have our own experiences and our own like identities. I am a CBC, and my family's been here for several generations. So I kind of grew up in the diaspora and just kind of figure out how I want to represent myself and what I want to do with my creative side. For the longest time, I have been like just kind of shutting down my creative side in terms of like developing it. I was very creative as a child and then just focused on trying to make money because I grew up a little lower income. And finally, through convincing from my friend Sophie, we decided to go into creating and selling our art, and I got over this fear. And my art kind of ranges. I do some stuff that's kind of based on heritage related things, some that are a little more like alternative style art, and lately I've been trying to do more, I guess, like advocacy with my art. I have a new print right now that I'm selling, and 100% of the proceeds go to the Downtown East Side, specifically to this Instagram account, R Downtown East Side, like O-U-R-D-T-E-S. And they are fundraising for phones for femmes in the Downtown East Side who have lost their phones due to the recent decampment. And I just want to be able to give back in any way possible. So that's what I'm doing right now, and I hope to be able to do more in the future. I am also a brand new tattoo artist, so hopefully if I can build up my business, I can maybe do flash days where I can donate more proceeds to local causes that I care about. And yeah, I just want to be more integrated in the community. You know, I have a privilege being a Chinese person on stolen Indigenous land, and I want to be able to do what I can for marginalized groups and our most vulnerable, and you know, slowly getting there.
Thank you for that. I want to talk a little bit more about what you have going on today in your booth, speaking about, you know, advocacy and things like that. So you have a print that's going to our Downtown East Side.
My recent prints of the Chinese like Qilin, for and raising money for Downtown East Side. And I chose the Qilin because they are like, you know, mystical creatures in Chinese lore as well as in other like Asian lore as well. And they stand for benevolence, justice, like they would never hurt like any living thing, so they always run on clouds. But if they sense like anyone who is guilty of like harming anyone or injustice, they'll smite them. And I feel like that is my contribution and the way I would want to represent the print as well, to show my anger, frustration with the decampment of, you know, our unhoused neighbors in the Downtown East Side. And I want to be able to do that more in the future, like create art that helps with advocacy, educating people. 100% education is so important. Or should I say informing, because educating sometimes is connected to academia, which I'm very careful of not promoting. So informing people and just overall creating more conversation. You know, I'm just one person, so I don't think I'm going to create like a big conversation here or there, but like connecting with maybe just one person at my table, letting them know what this print is about and making them feel like it's meaningful and they want to help out and buy a print where the proceeds do go to help, you know, our marginalized, you know, neighbors, then that's what makes me happy. And I'm trying to go towards that more in my art.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I really appreciate how you use artwork as a form to do storytelling and to also preserve, I guess, like really important folklore and things like that. I think it's totally appropriate to be using the Qilin as like as the thing to smite Ken Smith, as the kind of like
Imagery for Justice.
Yes, yeah. Yes, thank you. Imagery for Justice. For folks who are interested in supporting you, you know, great stuff, listener, great stuff out there. Yeah, for people who are looking to support you, check out your art, how can they do that? Where can they do that? What can they do?
Yeah, for sure. This is like those like YouTube videos where it's like and subscribe. People can find me on Instagram at Lucky Munir. So that'd be like LUCKY MUNYI. And all my art stuff is there. I'm working on a website. I'm really behind on that. But if anyone is curious, they can just DM me. I also do tattoos on a separate Instagram account. You can find me at like Inky Munir, which is INKY.MUNYI. So those are the two places people can find me. Find me at markets. I currently work at Patchwork Art Studios on Mondays, and then from a private Richmond studio every other day when it comes to tattoos.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gail. I'm here with Jimmy, who is a part of the Stranded Ones and also has some individual stuff that he would like to share. I heard from Gal that this was the first time that the Stranded Ones are boothing at Good Stank Mart.
Yes.
How are you finding it?
I'm having fun. This is a lot of the people that I'm kind of used to being around from my art school days. So I saw someone that I went to school with here too. So that was good to reconnect. It's been like a decade since we saw each other.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Which art school did you go to? Did you go to Emily Carr?
Emily Carr, yes.
Wow. Okay. So I guess you've been like kind of a local artist for quite a while. Tell me a little bit about your art practice.
My art practice. So my current work I'm doing right now, I started. Last year, because I was just done working at my old full-time job where I was not doing anything artsy at all and feeling very stuck. And then I started working there because I got laid off. And then so I was like, okay, I gotta take the time to get back to my old art practice, but something more where I wanted to go, because I feel like my time in art school and a few years after graduation, I wasn't really doing what I wanted to do as a how I envisioned myself as a kid growing up as an artist, because I've been drawing since I was born pretty much. So last year I really took the time to do some introspection, and then it led me to look back at my old childhood memories and the sort of imaginations that goes around it too. So here I am.
One of the things that I really liked at your booth were like the stickers of the neighbors fighting.
Yes.
Could you describe how that came to be?
Yeah, so I got the idea from where I grew up to back in Taiwan, in the little town. It's kind of a hillbilly kind of town, I would say, like just on the outskirts of Taipei. And the people there were kind of, we had a lot of freedom growing up, because there was like just, we kind of just, hillbillies, nobody really cared. We had a lot of space to run wild, and you know, and then our town used to get flooded every summer multiple times with the typhoon, so I think that kind of make us a little crazy. And then during the typhoons, you get nothing to do, people will organize barbecues and karaoke's with a generator. And you know, and then you get a little drunk, and then funny things happen. We like to go around setting things on fire too. I'm not admitting any crime. It's just what we used to do as kids, because there was enough space for that to happen. So I really appreciate that, actually. Yeah.
I really like how you take those fond childhood memories that some of them seem to be things that, like, not... definitely not... maybe not something that, like, city folk would encounter very often.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, that's why, because other than that, I lived in cities most of my life, and I feel like there's always... In the city, there's not enough room for your soul to grow, I feel, you know. So with my art making, I always go back to those years, because we were literally running wild and doing things that would get you in a lot of trouble as kids in the city. And I really cherish those freedoms that we had. Yeah, I don't know. I had my first memory of me drawing was maybe around one or two. I'm not sure, but I was just drawing on the walls in my old apartment with a pen. And somehow my parents weren't really discouraging me. They were like, "Oh yeah, that's great." And then so I just covered the walls with my drawings. And then later on, I moved to pen on paper, and I was quite prolific as a kid, yeah, and just lots of imaginations, and then those were the where the seeds were sown, I guess, back in the day, and that led to later on what I'm doing now.
What were you drawing back then, as a kid and as a young adult, then, compared to now?
I would say more kind of fantasy stuff, like somehow, like, I guess it just comes naturally as a being a boy. Like, I like to draw just epic war scenes of bunch of people fighting each other, killing each other, kind of thing, you know, and then play in like a fantasy kind of setting, or like a kung fu martial arts kind of setting. Yeah, those were where I take a lot of inspiration from, yeah. And then, yeah, I mean I'm still obsessed with fighting and martial arts, and it's still in my art, and I do practice martial art too, and really kind of feed into each other.
For folks who want to check out your art, support it, how can they do it? Where can they find your art? Where can they find you?
Oh yes, they can find me on Instagram at Jimmy Liang Inc. That's JimmyLiangInk. That's my Instagram handle. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie. We're hitting the top of the hour. I hope you enjoyed today's show, and more than anything, I hope I've piqued your interest in Good Stank Mart and that you'll check out future markets. I also hope that I've massaged your desire, why did I write this, to check out the work of local artists. Go on and give James, Jared, Jotika, Geza, Sophie, Gal, Jimmy, and Good Stank Mart a follow on Instagram. Keep up to date with their artwork over there. Check out their websites. You know, do all that. While you're on Instagram, though, give us a follow, Typically Tuesdays. We're at Typically Tuesdays, and get notified of when this episode of the show is going to go up into the archives and other things we got going on. Before I end the show, a quick shout out to Rachel Lau, who was a vendor at the market. If you're a seasoned listener of Typically Tuesdays, you remember that Jade and I interviewed them and chatted with them about their work and Queer Reads Library a few years ago. The episode is in the archives if you missed it and want to check it out. But Rachel, thank you so much for your kindness. I'm so sorry we couldn't chat more and that I couldn't come back to check out your booth. I was running late to an event and had to leave. But thank you so much for remembering us. I hope we get to chat soon again. It means a lot that, you know, you were like, oh yeah, I remember you. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's basically the final minute of the show. Thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples. Find us online at cjsf.ca, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.